just pause for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered today, to be able to pause and step out of the craziness of life right now, out of the rat race, out of the commercialism of everything that has become in our culture about Christmas, and just remind ourselves and be reminded of the significance of Emmanuel. And so, God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts in this today as we open your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that we see here in Luke 1 is that the presence of Emmanuel brings joy. The presence of Emmanuel brings joy. We're actually going to pick up the story here in verse 39 in Luke 1. And so we read there in the opening verses today in Luke 39, verses to verse 41. It says, "In those days Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now we're just going to pause there and make some observations here about how God is working in this. So first thing, a little bit of context, a little bit of background here. So Mary is setting out. So this is right after the angel has announced to Mary that she is going to be with child, that the Spirit of God is going to come upon her and she is going to be with child. And it says that she set out to the hill country of Judah. Now, we do not know the exact town that Zechariah and Elizabeth were living in. From where Mary was at in Bethlehem in Nazareth to the hill country of Judah would have been somewhere in the range of a trip of about 50 to 70 miles. So it's a significant distance when you are traveling by foot or by animal in that. And so this was a major trip that she made. Now, it says that she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. This couple that we've been talking about, Zechariah and Elizabeth, if you were to read the whole chapter, you would have already met them. There was an angel that came to Zechariah. He was serving in the temple. He's a Levite. And as he was serving in the temple, an angel visited him and said that his wife, they were both advanced in years, but said his wife was going to have a child. And he didn't quite understand how that could happen and was not believing in that. And so the angel said that you will not speak again until the child is born. And so Zechariah does not speak at all in this visit from Mary. And so we notice that. And I think that's part of the reason why Mary stayed for 3 months, was Zechariah was not able to complain about the fact that the company that had come to visit had been there for 3 months. Now, this child that Elizabeth was carrying, if you're familiar with the story, you know that this child would become John the Baptist. Elizabeth and Mary were relatives. We do not know the exact nature of the relation. The word used there is just a general word that is translated as relative. So whether they were cousins, aunt, what we don't know exactly what the connection was here. Now, it's a significant thing when Mary shows up, right? It says when Elizabeth... let's skip down. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, two things here happen. Two things. And I've always been fascinated by this happening here, this interaction here. Because first of all, Elizabeth reports that the baby leapt in her womb for joy. right? The baby, something about Mary and being pregnant with the Lord here, that somehow John the Baptist in utero has some awareness that this is who is there. This is a significant moment here. And he leaps in her for joy. And she's aware of that. She becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the Spirit of God gives her an awareness at that point of what is going on in Mary's life and an understanding of why the baby is responding in such a way in this. Now, this phrase, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to take a moment and just explain what is going on there a little bit. All right? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is different than the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. These are the two primary ways that we experience God, the Holy Spirit, working in our lives, is his indwelling presence and also this ministry of being filled by the Holy Spirit. So first, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is something that did not begin until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It's part of the new covenant. God says, I will remove the old heart of stone and put a new heart in you. We receive the Spirit of God in us when we believe in Jesus. And so this is a permanent thing, and it seals the believer in Jesus for eternity in heaven with God. That's what Acts 1 talks about. It is a deposit on the inheritance that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It is a permanent thing in the life of the believer. This ministry of a filling of the Holy Spirit is different. It is a temporary experience where the power and presence of the Spirit is manifest in the life of someone in order to accomplish the purposes of God in and through their life. This is like what we sometimes refer to as spiritual gifts, right? Where someone, God is pouring himself out through them, the Spirit is moving, and they are functioning in the gifts that God has given them to do. So we see this in a few points. We can go actually all the way back to 1 Samuel 10. One of the good examples of this, and for the sake of time, we're not going to go back and read it, but Saul, the first king of Israel, is filled with the Spirit and begins to prophesy in that. Later in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks some words of prophecy in this. And so Elizabeth here becomes filled with the Holy Spirit because God has a purpose for her in this. And she speaks some words of prophecy. And here when we talk about prophecy, we're talking about speaking the truth of God. We're talking about speaking God's truth. We're not talking about predicting the future. Sometimes people think that prophecy is all about future and what God says about what's happening in the future. But listen, if you go into the scriptures and you spend time in what we call the prophetic books in the Old Testament, you will find that the vast majority of the messages that the prophets spoke in that was about God calling them to repentance and calling them to follow him. A minor part of it was about things that will happen in the future. The majority of it, when we talk about a gift of prophecy, is taking God's word and speaking God's truth, like what we do when we open up the text. And so Elizabeth is speaking God's truth into Mary's life here, is what we see. So this is how spiritual gifts work. God fills us with his Spirit, and what flows out is spiritual gifts. Right? And so we do not have control over the when and the where. It is up to the Spirit of God. Scripture tells us that the Spirit is the one who determines the gifting that we have, the way that the Spirit is going to work in and through his people is up to God in that. We don't have control over that. So what that then means is that if you encounter someone or someone in their ministry claims to have some of these gifts as some kind of permanent thing that I can do this whenever and wherever that I want to, that's not a biblical understanding of spiritual gifts. God is the one who is in charge of gifts. God is the one who pours himself out into his people in that. So we see here in Elizabeth and in her unborn child that the presence of Emmanuel, the presence of God through in the person of Jesus, results in joy for both Elizabeth and John. It results in joy for both of them. As I was reading through this and studying through this and thinking about the joy, I was reminded of this experience that I had at my previous church up in Washington. In this church, there was a couple that had a counseling ministry. Their names were John and Dinah McCready. Dinah is now with the Lord. But John and Dinah were there, part of the church that I was at in Washington, and they were trained counselors. And they had been working with this gal, and for the life of me, I cannot remember her name. Because she didn't remain in the church after a while, and so we lost touch. But they had been working with this gal in counseling and talking to her about the Lord. And she was really right at the edge of being ready to receive Jesus as her Savior. But she told them, she said, I really want to do it in the worship service. I want to come up. I want to respond to an altar call. And so they shared with me about this. And I was actually the associate pastor at the time, but I was covering the pulpit the next week. And so they said, could you do an altar call? And I'm like, you know, I don't do that all the time, but yeah, sure. This gal wants to respond to an altar call. Great. We'll do that. And so I'm doing that at the end of the service, and I've invited people to come up front. And I don't really know who this person is. I've never met them before, but I'm told by somebody else, man, I mean, this is a slam dunk. You've got somebody coming forward. And she waits until the song is almost over. Come to find out, she was wrestling. The enemy was working hard to try to stop her from coming forward. But she came forward right towards the end of the song. And she prayed with me there and accepted the Lord. Now, I share this with you because the next Sunday, she showed up and she said hi to me. And I didn't know who this person was. I didn't recognize her. See, the week before, life had beat her up a lot. And she was just very burdened by everything in life. And there was no joy in her. And then she met Jesus. And the next week, she showed up and she literally, physically looked like an entirely different person. The joy that she had in her life because she now knew Jesus made her unrecognizable to me. I literally did not realize it was the same woman I had just prayed with the week before. She had to point it out to me. That's the difference that the joy of Jesus makes. I mean, just her eyes were bright and there was a smile on her face and it just, her life was just full of joy now. And it just blew me away at the way that God had worked in her life. The presence of Emmanuel brings joy in our lives. It brings joy. Second idea here that we see in this passage is that the presence of Emmanuel brings peace. It brings peace. Verses 42 to 45. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry. So this is Elizabeth speaking, right? She was filled with the Spirit of God. She exclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt inside of me for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. So Elizabeth here says that it says that Elizabeth exclaimed with a loud cry. So this is Elizabeth began to prophesy as a result of the Spirit of God at work here in her. Right? This is God speaking through her, giving her the words to speak, and she is declaring God's truth here over Mary and speaking blessing over her. And it says here, she says that the mother of my Lord. Now I want to just point out here real quick that Mary is never called in Scripture the mother of God. All right? Some denominations, some churches like to refer to Mary as Mary the mother of God here. The text says that she is the mother of my Lord is what Elizabeth says. And this is an important distinction because Mary is Jesus' mother, and Jesus is fully God and fully man. But God is more than Jesus. God is Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay? Father, Son, and Spirit. So Jesus, as the God-man, as God in the flesh, has a mother. God, Father, Son, Spirit, does not. God has always existed. Jesus was born into the human race as the God-man, fully God, fully man. There is a distinction there. There is a difference there. So this does not make Mary the mother of God. It makes Mary the mother of Jesus. And Elizabeth uses the title Lord here, not God. And that's an important distinction. We should not have halos around Mary. She is not perfection in this as mother of God, but she is the mother of Jesus. Now, we see peace in this. How do we see peace in this here? Well, I want you to imagine trying to be in their shoes. Like, imagine Elizabeth, you're just hanging out, you're having kind of a chill day, your relative shows up unannounced, walks into the house, says hello, and all of a sudden the baby inside of you starts bouncing around like never before. I mean, now, okay, if that happened to me, I'm not going to be peaceful because why is there a baby inside of me? But some of you women can relate to that, right? And then you find out that she is miraculously pregnant with the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I might be freaking out a little bit here. And yet, Elizabeth doesn't freak out. Elizabeth trusts God. She gives praise and glory to God in this. And then imagine Mary. Think about what Mary's just gone through. She had this visit from an angel. She finds out that she's going to be miraculously pregnant. She assumes Joseph is going to reject her, but he doesn't. What would you need to hear from a trusted loved one? Right? This isn't just a random thing that she goes to visit her relative. She needs encouragement. Life is going to be very different now. This is a big deal. Try to fathom what she is going through as a young woman. Words of blessing, words of affirmation, words of peace. I imagine this encounter for Mary, as she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, and Elizabeth speaks these powerful words over her, had to be a tremendously affirming, positive, calming thing and bring peace to Mary. That, okay, it's going to be okay, right? So Emmanuel brings peace. In fact, it was, what did the angels announce to the shepherds when they were in the field? Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Peace on earth. Emmanuel brings peace. Lastly, Emmanuel brings hope. And this is the section that David read for us earlier, verses 46 to 46 here. And we read this. Mary said, So this is Mary's response to what Elizabeth has spoken over her. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then she returned home. Now, this passage, this song of Mary, is traditionally known as Mary's Magnificat. That comes from the Latin to glorify. She is giving glory to God here. And even though Mary is the author of it, it really isn't about her. She's giving the glory to God here. And we see it in the words, right? So what does she say? She rejoices in God in this. She identifies God as her Savior, as the source of her salvation. The Mighty One, it is the Mighty One. She refers to him as a Mighty One who is acting, who is moving on behalf of his people. And so what does he do? He is the one who brings blessings. He is the one who brings mercy here. He is the one who is righting the wrongs. He is the helper of Israel, the people of God. And he is the one who remembered his promises to Abraham. See, ultimately, Mary identifies God as the source of her hope in this. Remember, there had been 400 years of silence. Of nobody speaking for God. No prophets. No nothing, no messages from God, 400 years. Try to let that sink in. Our nation is not yet even 300 years old. And this was 400 years of silence. Imagine how many people are starting to wonder, is God forgotten about us? Is God really there? No prophets, no messages, just silence. But now Mary says, God is not forgotten. He is fulfilling his promises to his people. His promise that he made to Eve, that one born of a woman will crush the serpent. His promise to Abraham, that his seed is going to be a blessing to all nations. His promise to the tribe of Judah, that the scepter will not part from their tribe, that the one who rules over the people will not depart from Judah. And his promise to David, to King David of the tribe of Judah, that he will have a son, an anointed one, which means Messiah. A Messiah who will reign on the throne of Israel forever. These wonderful promises that we read about in the Word of God. Mary is now saying, these things, God is doing these things. He is acting on behalf of his people. And she is now seeing the realization of her hope. Her hope is no longer in an idea. Her hope is no longer in the words of some prophet from hundreds of years ago. Her hope is no longer in a nation. Her hope is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Is that where your hope is? Is your hope in Jesus? This is the impact of Emmanuel, of God with us. Is that God has been revealed to us that we might be filled with joy and peace and hope. And those things are not found in these ideas. They're not found in stuff that we chase after. They're found in a person. and that person is Jesus Christ. I hope that you have found Jesus in your life. I hope that you have experienced the joy and the peace and the hope in your life that comes through knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus, your Son. That he came as Emmanuel, God with us. That we would not be alone in this, but that there would be a way through Jesus for us to have forgiveness of sin, a cleansing of the shame that comes from our sin, from the sins against us, that Jesus cleanses all of that and takes all of that away because he went to the cross, taking the sin and the shame on the cross, and that he defeated sin and death in his resurrection. God, we thank you for it. And God, I would just pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus, who does not know the hope, the joy, and the peace that comes in knowing Jesus, God, that you would move in their heart and that they would receive that in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name.